Good morning.
Good morning.
And what shall we discuss?
Well, the first thing that I had on my mind was I've been doing some research on some of the past transcripts, and I'm feeling that of all the essence families, I must be a Vold. And the reason I say that is that a lot of the things that you describe as Vold seem that they fit me pretty well. But one area that doesn't match is the part about hearing voices. And the other part I wanted to ask about is that I find that I, by psychological standards, I am an introvert, and I like spending time alone, but I do crave being around people. But when I do get around people, I feel that it takes a lot of my energy, and I can't be around people for days at a time. I need to get back by myself. And I know that extroverts tend to get energy from people. So I'm just curious if there's a way to describe this introvert pattern in your world, and if you know of, if it's possible for me to eventually get away from that pattern and be more comfortable in groups and be able to do more in groups in the future.
Very well. What I would say to you is an introvert is a type of designation of a type of personality. Therefore, that doesn't necessarily change. It isn't that you may be an introvert and you could stop being an introvert. That isn't the manner in which that functions. But you can be comfortable with your personality expression, and you can engage it in a manner that isn't overwhelming to you. Now, let me express to you how you described that in your experience is very accurate, that people in Care Brain a tendency to think that an individual that is introverted in their personality, that they would not want to be around groups of individuals ever, and that they wouldn't be comfortable with other individuals, which is actually quite incorrect. Generally speaking, individuals that do have this type of personality also are social individuals. They like being social. They like incorporating time to themselves and doing activities by themselves, but they also very much, in a manner of speaking, almost crave interaction with other individuals. Now, in that, I would say that one of the reasons for that is that individuals that have this type of personality, an introverted personality, if they incorporate too much time alone, they have a tendency to move in directions in which they are making themselves uncomfortable. They think excessively. They incorporate a tendency to be self-critical. And therefore, it is important that they are interactive with other individuals because it gives them a different perspective, it gives them different energy, and also it helps them to not be constantly living in their own head, in a manner of speaking. Now, in this, first of all, it is a matter of genuinely acknowledging your natural expression. And in that moving in a flow with that, rather than pushing yourself and expecting yourself to be different. It is important that you are interactive, but not necessarily with large groups of individuals. You can occasionally be involved or interactive with a semi-large group of individuals if it is brief. Therefore, let me express a hypothetical type of individual that, yes, you interact with individuals, let us say, for a day and be comfortable. You would not be comfortable engaging a vacation with a group of individuals in which you would be subjected to interaction with the group on a daily basis, all day, every day, for a week.
Right. That's exactly
that
right.
Would be tremendously overwhelming for an individual such as yourself. And what would occur subsequently would likely be that you would require 2 to 3 weeks to decompress from all of that stimulation.
Yeah.
Now, what I would say to you is, it is a matter of recognizing that this is a natural expression for you, and therefore not expecting yourself to express differently, but moving in directions that allow your flow but don't overwhelm you. Therefore, if you incorporate friendships with a group of individuals, let us say, you can be interactive with them one-on-one, even on a daily basis, or you can be interactive with them one-on-one on a basis of every few days if you are interactive with other individuals, such as if you are working with other individuals and you have coworkers that you see and interact with on a daily basis. Then with friendships, you might want to interact with those individuals perhaps not necessarily on a daily basis. With groups, you may choose to engage smaller groups, engage more frequently. I would say that an introverted individual could be very comfortable engaging routinely, let us say once a week, with a small group of individuals for a limited time, not all day, but for a dinner engagement or for a few hours in the afternoon, but for something that you may generate on a consistent basis as a I would also express that burden also function better, let us say, with routines.
Okay.
That it is more difficult and much more easy to be overwhelming if situations are continuously changing.
Right.
If you are being inundated with spontaneous changes continuously, that can be considerably overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you are engaged with a job, let us say, in which there is constant change occurring, or there are constant situations that are presenting themselves randomly or spontaneously, and that is interrupting your routines and are requiring you to be adjusting yourself continuously and continuously responsive and changing, that can be very overwhelming and isn't necessarily an ideal expression for an individual with this type of personality. Consistency, routine, these are valuable components for an introverted personality. That doesn't mean that you are never spontaneous. At times you can be, and at times that can be fun, but not routinely, not on a daily basis. I would also express that very similar to individuals that are of the intermediate orientation.
Okay.
Intermediate individuals very much value their time and interaction being alone to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But they very much value the presence of other individuals around them.
Yes.
Even if they aren't necessarily interacting with those individuals, they are more comfortable knowing that the energy of the other individuals are present and available for them.
Yeah.
Introverted individuals are very similar, that they may not always want to be directly interactive, but they are more comfortable knowing that other individuals are close by.
Well, one of the things that I do that I have had a bad self-opinion of myself in regards to is that the thing that I do in groups is I constantly monitor how I'm doing, and it occurs as I'm insecure. I'm worried about what other people are thinking about me. And if there's one person, I can manage it. But as there's more and more people, it's more and more difficult to manage what all these different people, how they're perceiving me. And I tend to judge myself as being insecure for doing that. But if I look at it through an introverted lens, then it's normal. But what doesn't seem normal is that strategy of why I worry about what other people are thinking of me. Because when I get alone, again, I don't really care what people think of me, at least not to a very big, large degree.
What I would say is one of the pieces that is very common with that you have a tendency to measure yourself by what is occurring around you and how well you are engaging with it. Therefore, if you are engaging with one individual, you are more comfortable because you generally are paying more attention to yourself because there isn't as much distraction. Only one other individual. Therefore, you can pay attention to that individual, but you can be paying more attention to yourself. And in that, you aren't as distracted and you gauge assessment of yourself by that situation, by that interaction. If you feel comfortable with the other individual, you stop thinking about it. And you are comfortable enough to pay attention to yourself. When there are a group of individuals, when there are more individuals, then the distraction becomes greater because now you have each one of these individuals to evaluate. You don't look at them as a group. You look at them as each individual and that you have to be interactive with each one of them. And therefore, you have to assess, are you comfortable with each one of them in this situation? That becomes very distracting. And what it does is it moves your attention more and more and more away from you, which becomes very uncomfortable. And the more you move your attention away from you, the more you begin questioning yourself. Am I doing this right? Am I right? Am I correct? Am I doing something wrong? What are the other individuals thinking? What is their perception of me? How should I be? Questions, questions, questions.
Exactly.
Because you are too distracted. Now, how you change that is, first of all, begin acknowledging yourself by moving yourself in directions that you already are comfortable with. Therefore, if you are engaged with a group, choose a group of individuals that you already know each one of them. You are already comfortable with each one of them. Therefore, they aren't as much of a distraction. And that may seem simplistic, but in actuality, it isn't, because you could be invited to an event and you might know one or two individuals intimately and not pressed. You may casually know some of the individuals. You might not know objectively some of the individuals at all. That creates stress. Now, that doesn't mean that you can or shouldn't ever engage an activity in which you don't know all the individuals. That is
like going to school.
It is, yes, that can be very stressful. And what I would say is that it isn't that black and white. It isn't that you never should do that, but more that you learn how to do that in a manner that is successful for you, which means if you are agreeing to engage that type of a situation in which you aren't considerably familiar with all of the individuals participating, that you limit that to a short amount of time.
Okay.
Therefore, you aren't placing yourself in a situation that gives you too much time to be retreating into your head. Because that is what you automatically do. It is a defense mechanism, if you will. If there are too many unknown components, then you retreat.
Yes.
And when you retreat, you move into your own head. And into your own head is not necessarily a good or safe place to be.
No.
Because that is where all the questions reside.
Yes, and not all the answers either.
Yes, that is where all the doubts reside and where all the questions reside. Therefore, you don't necessarily want to retreat into your own head. That isn't a safe place to be. Therefore, it is a matter of recognizing that, that is an automatic action. But you don't want to engage that automatic action. Therefore, don't place yourself in a situation that you would automatically retreat.
Okay.
Don't feel safe in the environment.
Yes.
Because the lack of safety in the environment creates the action of the lack of safety in your head.
Yeah, that sounds right. I get it. The other thing that I noticed that I do a lot, and I just kind of had the realization after listening to some of the things you've said about pushing, I noticed that that's really what I do a lot is the pushing thing. And I have this sense of urgency about a lot of the things that I do. And part of that is growing up in this age that I'm in. I know that we're going into this shift, and I have a lot of doubt about whether, I mean, I don't trust myself in my movement into this shift. I don't even trust that there will be a shift. When I look around me in the world, a lot of these doubts and questions come up. And one of my fears is that I will somehow choose to go into a reality that doesn't shift, that becomes more dystopian rather than the utopian kind of a thing I've wanted since I was very, very young. And I know that there is no real utopia. I'm not expecting it to be all rosy, but I do want to see change. I want to see a lot of the technological things that need to happen start happening. I want to see more of it. And it's a dystopian time right now with Trump in office as president, and wondering whether he would get elected for another 4 years. So this sense of urgency isn't working for me because it's having me push. And I've been working a lot on trying to just, you know, be present and be paying attention to myself in the moment and then be drawn towards things.
What I would say to you, my friend, is what can be very helpful is to simplify. And I will explain how to do that. But let me also express to you that it isn't a matter of you moving into the shift or anticipating it. You already are in it. It has already been happening, and it has been happening for almost 120 years. And in that I would I understand what you are expressing, and I very much understand your perception of the dystopia. But I would also say that it is definitely a matter of what you pay attention to. There is evidence of this shift all around you. Your development of your technology is one of the most obvious expressions of this shift. How quickly it is developing, how tremendously you have been leaping forward in such a short time framework, even in relation to 50 years as opposed to millennia that you generated in relation to your species before that. You have moved more in this past 50 to 70 years than you have in thousands of years. You have been leaping forward tremendously. But it isn't only that. There are so many other examples of how you are implementing this shift. And let me express to you, I understand your opinion and your perception in relation to what you see in your present state of your country and what you see as the leadership of your country. But once again, I would express that that also is a matter of perception and what you are paying attention to. And in that, what you are fighting with and making important, and therefore what you are, in a manner of speaking, not engaging or ignoring and not making important. What I would say to you, my friend, is also definitely a matter of simplifying. Each day is important. And what will you do in each day? It is a matter of stopping yourself from moving in these directions, of looking at subject matters in overwhelming terms and in generalities, that everything is wrong or bad or dysfunctional and moving in the direction of doom and gloom, and there's nothing I can do about it. We are spiraling out of control, and it is hopeless. I can't do anything about it because I am only one individual. It doesn't matter that you are only one individual in your terms. You have endless and boundless energy. Boundless energy. Your energy knows no boundaries. Therefore, everything you do, everything you express, is always being projected outwardly and is connecting with every other energy of similarity. And collectively, that creates a tremendous volume of energy. Therefore, it is a matter of what direction do you want your energy to move in? Because it is always your choice. Always. You always choose what you are expressing. Because you are always creating every moment, every aspect of your reality. Whether you believe it or not, you don't have to believe it. You are doing it anyway. In this, the point is being intentional. The point is being self-aware, and therefore having the ability to be choosing intentionally, not automatically. In that, what can be tremendously helpful is to simplify. Therefore, when you rise in the morning and you are overwhelmed already before your day even begins because your mind is already racing in all the directions of everything that is occurring in your life, in your world, and everything that demands your attention, and everything that you can't get to, and everything you aren't accomplishing, and everything that isn't enough, stop and be intentional and choose in simplifying capacities. What do I want to do today? What are the subjects that are important to me? What is important to you? Is your planet important to you? Are your relationships important to you? Is your job important to you? Is your creativity important to you? What are the subjects that are important to you? What is important in your life?
Well, it's certainly the protection of this planet. I feel is very important. That's very important, but I find that I'm not doing the things that I tell myself I should be doing. The things that I'm drawn towards doing are very indirectly helping the planet. You know, I mean, I'm trying to recycle and not drive too much, but my carbon footprint is huge. You know, I'd be better to just go away. But as far as participating in what I feel like doing, it's creating, educating, trying to create things that will change people's consciousness. That's important to me.
Very well. Then simplify. It isn't only a matter of your carbon footprint, so to speak. I'm not discounting that. I am not expressing that that isn't important. But that isn't the only important piece. And in that, it also is a matter of being realistic in your choices, in your perception of what your choices are for your individual life. Therefore, simplify. Rather than looking at the entire situation of the planet and overwhelming yourself and always expressing on a daily basis, day out, repeatedly, that you aren't doing enough, even when you are engaging in some actions, and even in the days that you did something, but there is always underlying energy that, regardless of what you do, it is never enough.
Mm-hmm.
Other than doing that, which, what are you doing? What are you accomplishing in that? You are accomplishing projecting a consistent, constant energy of not enough.
Yes.
And contributing to that collective energy of despair, which leads in what direction? Doom and gloom.
And stress.
Correct. Rather than doing that, which is what you have been doing, simplify and do something different, which would be, today, I will engage one other individual and encourage them in relation to our planet. It doesn't mean you will engage one individual and instruct them what to do in recycling. No, you will encourage them in relation to your planet, that this is a wonderful planet, that this is a good life, that they have a future that isn't a matter of doom and gloom. And then do that doesn't mean you have to engage some tremendous conversation or discussion with anyone. All you have to do is one action with one individual to encourage them. Rather than reinforcing their perception of doom and gloom, encourage them that they have a future. In that, then acknowledge yourself that you did it, that you accomplished it. Let me express to you, my friend, what you do on a daily basis as it is a constant in relation to the whole. It is always being projected, and it is always affecting. Now, let me give you an example of something that is a very mundane action, but this is an example of how to simplify. Do you use dishes?
Yes.
If you use dishes, then you have to wash them at times, occasionally, correct?
Yes.
Likely, you have to wash them in some capacity, almost on a daily basis, correct?
That's right.
Very well. When you wash the dishes, tell yourself you see the dishes that fire washing. You express to yourself that you need to wash the dishes because that is a responsible action to do and it is necessary. You don't think all of this. You simply do it.
Right.
And once you do it, you stop thinking about it. You don't think about doing the dishes the rest of the day because you already did it.
Right.
You let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Are satisfied, and it is enough because you already did it. You don't think about it any longer until the next day. Then you may think about it again. I have to wash the dishes. And then you do it, and then you stop thinking about it. Don't concern yourself with it any longer. Do that with everything. Choose in the day whatever subjects are important to you. Choose one action to do in relation to that. In relation to whatever is important to you, choose one action and then acknowledge yourself with that one action that you did it. And you don't have to think about it anymore today because it is done. Therefore, it is done for today, and that is enough. That's you don't have to find more dishes to wash because whatever you washed wasn't enough. No, it is enough.
Okay.
The same with everything else in your life.
Okay. I see what you mean by simplifying. That's good.
The most important piece is acknowledging that you did an action and expressing to yourself that for today, that is enough.
Okay. All right. I wanted to get to one other question about a physical issue that I've been having. I have developed tinnitus that is a pulsatile tinnitus. I can hear a ringing, but it goes with my heart rate. So when my heart is beating, I can hear it go to a high pitch and then back to silence with every heartbeat. And I've gone to see some specialists and had a MRI, and everything seems to be perfectly fine. They can't find anything wrong. And I'm wondering why I might have created this. And my own perception is I may have created it to help me be more present in the moment. And by listening to this, I can actually calm myself a little bit. So I wondered what you thought about that.
I would actually acknowledge you in that. But what I would say to you is, indirectly, you are correct. Directly, it is a manifestation that you are expressing with yourself, with your body consciousness, in relation to pressuring yourself. The more pressure you express with yourself, the more you intensify that action. And you incorporate a tendency to pressure yourself in almost every direction in relation to what you do, how you express yourself, what you accomplish, what you don't accomplish, how you interact, how you don't interact. You can choose almost any subject, and there is a factor in which you pressure yourself about it.
Yes.
And the more you do that, the more you generate this physical manifestation. Now, what I would say to you very realistically, if you begin practicing some of what we have discussed in this conversation, you very well may stop that physical manifestation altogether. But in the meantime, I would tremendously be acknowledging of you that you have actually considered using it as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
That is creative. And I would acknowledge you in that expression, because that can be considerable.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. The voice cut out a little bit.
I said eventually you won't need it as a tool.
Okay.
Because eventually if you are relaxing and allowing yourself to apply what we have been discussing and simplifying, that will influence your behavior in not pressuring yourself. And not only simplifying, but also moving in a natural flow in relation to your personality, which is also another considerable area that you pressure yourself in.
Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite strategies is feeling anger about something, and then I get angry because I got angry, and then I get angrier because I got angry because I got angry. I know you said that anger is a expression of a lack of, or a perception that there's no choices. I don't have any choices. And that is that the signal that I'm, that I need to get from it and then realize that I do have choices?
Yes, yes. And perhaps even express to yourself in somewhat of a humorous manner that when you are doing that looping,
mm-hmm.
that you can stop and express to yourself an acknowledgement of how much you genuinely like merry-go-rounds.
Yeah, I do, I must.
But indeed. That you may be tired of them.
Yes, very tired. Exhausted.
I would agree. I would express that is a simple expression. If you can remind yourself when you are angry, this is me not seeing my choices.
Okay.
I have choices. I always have choices. And they are never black and white. They are never either or. You always have more choices.
Okay.
And in that, also acknowledging yourself when you tell yourself that you always have choices, you might not see what they are in the moment, and that is acceptable. You don't have to know what they are immediately. Simply knowing that you have them can be enough until you discover what choices you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, my friend, can feed into that expression of anger very easily. When you tell yourself, yes, you do have choices, and you express, I may have choices, but I don't know what they are, therefore I don't have any choices, that can be a very reinforcing loop again of discounting yourself and looping back into that anger. Therefore, it is important to remind yourself that the factor that you might not see what your choices are in a particular moment doesn't mean you don't have them.
Okay.
It simply means that you are cluttering yourself momentarily, and if you relax and stop looking for the answer, you likely will give it to yourself.
Relax. And when I get angry, I sometimes feel that other people perceive me in a very negative light. And then it's like the anger gives me permission to really let them see how negative of a light they should see me in. And then after I'm angry, I have a lot of regret for doing that. So it's something that adds to the sort of the payoff for getting angry.
Yes, and that is actually not as unusual as you might think, because it is an automatic defense mechanism. When you see you don't have any choices and you are angry, and you begin moving your attention outside of yourself, and you perceive that other individuals are distressed because you are angry or afraid because you are angry, then you validate that in a defense mechanism and you express even more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This is what they expect already, then I will give it to them.
And it punishes myself later when I feel the regret for having done that.
But in that, it can be very helpful for you to simply be aware of those two factors. One, that your tendency is to automatically compound the anger and the lack of choices with the defense, which is an opposing energy. And you aren't opposing the other individuals, you are opposing yourself more.
Right.
Therefore, in that, recognizing this is a defense action that is opposing myself even more. And this is simply occurring because I think, because I perceive that I don't have any choices in this moment. Mm. And it isn't that I don't have choices. It is simply I don't see what they are.
Yes.
When you don't see what your choices are in a moment, that is a time to pause. Not to panic, but to pause. When you panic, you become angry. You panic because you feel out of control. I have to know what my choices are, or I am not in control.
Fear.
Yes. But in that, it isn't a matter of panicking. It is a matter of pause. When I don't know what to do, do nothing.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's really very great stuff. I'm very grateful for that. This has been wonderful. A lot of times I feel like I know these things, but I don't really quite put the pieces together. I feel like I have made a lot of progress in the last, even just a few days, sort of seeing it.
I definitely agree. not be engaging this conversation.
Yes.
Therefore, acknowledge yourself in that accomplishment also. And yes. I would say to you, my friend, that yes, you do have all of this information, but that doesn't mean that you always remember it. And it doesn't mean that you always formulate it in a manner that you can practically engage. And that is the benefit of engaging with myself.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of other things that I would love to ask about, but it's so hard to figure out the right way to ask to make.
It isn't a matter of the right way, my friend. It is simply a matter of asking the questions. There is no right way or wrong way of asking questions. There is only asking.
Okay. Well, that gives me a lot of permission.
Precisely. And that is the point, is that permission.
Yeah. Well, next time I talk to you, I want to ask you if the reality we live in is made of meaning, or if meaning is just something that we put on the reality around us. That's a question that may take you longer to answer, though.
And I will give you a preview, and I will express to you that it is both.
Okay.
It isn't one or the other. It is both of them together.
Hmm. Interesting.
As you are always moving in a direction of seeking new.
Mm-hmm.
Creating new. There is always the availability of all information that already exists, already have, but there is always that movement, that desire that is your engine, in a manner of speaking, that moves you in a direction of constantly seeking out what can be invented and what is new.
Mm. New meaning.
Yes. Mm.
Is that the meaning of life, is to find meaning? To invent meaning?
To invent meaning, I would express, would be more accurate, yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much, Elias. This has just been great.
You are exceptionally welcome, my friend. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting. This has been quite stimulating and enjoyable.
Good. Thank you so much.
In tremendous encouragement to you, in great supportiveness, and in wondrous lovingness to you, as always, my friend. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Thank you. Goodbye.